Thank you for joining us for Life and Taxes with tax attorney Andrew Foster of Harvell and Collins Attorneys at Law. Call in now with your tax questions at 800-818-2255 or locally at 247-7282 or 353-4674.
And Andrew's in the studio with us now. Hi, Andrew. How are you?
Good morning, Ben. Doing well.
All right. So what's going on? What are we talking about today?
Well, Ben, you know, a couple weeks ago, right after filing season, we mentioned in particular that it was so important, if you haven't filed, to go ahead and get filed as quickly as possible.
Mm-hmm. Even failure to file is worse than failure to pay.
That's right. Even if you can't pay your tax bill, you know, we really encourage our listeners to go ahead and get that filing made. I know sometimes it is scary for an individual to file a tax return showing a payment due and not sending in a payment. But really and truly, that at least eliminates that 5% per month or part of a month failure to file penalty that you know, the IRS will assess for you not filing your return. You know, we mentioned there are options out there with regards to paying your tax bill. You know, maybe some of the not so great ones, but possibilities still nevertheless are, you know, credit card or perhaps taking out an equity line if you have real property, or, you know, getting a loan on even personal property, potentially to try to pay the tax bill. And a lot of times, you know, we interest and penalties, you're looking at, you know, somewhere in the ballpark of 13% is typically what I tell people to gauge it off of. So, you know, if you can get something that's less than that, then you're doing okay, even if you have to make payments back to, you know, a bank or a financing company. The next way, you know, is an installment agreement. We mentioned that if you're under $50,000, you know, fairly simple to submit an installment agreement request to the IRS. You can go online and do it. There's a small user fee. If you do a direct debit, it's less than $100. If you want to send in a check every month, you're looking at a little bit larger, just over $100 fee to set up this installment agreement. And then, as I said, the IRS can check back in with you and see, you know, if your financial status has changed. So they do that every year and just, you know, check to see whether they're going to continue this installment agreement or if it needs to be adjusted.
How long does that installment agreement last?
Typically, you know, you can choose, you know, the 120 months is the kind of set standard for the service.
Wow.
So, you know, they give you a little, a long leash there, but you know, when the tax bill gets up, you know, it's tough. There's then what's called currently non-collectible, which is a status you can get in if you're suffering from some type of hardship. You know, you can show the service that you're just don't have the ability to pay at the
this
moment.
This is the blood from a stone category, right?
Exactly. So you know, you provide information to the service and they can put you in this category. And the good news about it, Ben, is they're not going to levy you, you know, once they put you in this status. Now they will take a lien on your property. That's one of the things that's done. So if you do have some property that you're interested in selling or moving in any way, just know that lien will be placed if you get in currently non-collectible. They just want to protect their status, but they won't bother you. You know, same thing as the installment agreement. They'll check back in with you, but you know, it is an option for those suffering some hardship where you can get in a status and you stop that collection potential. And then again, the only bright spot I'll say is you can ride out the 10-year statute of limitation on collection, because while you're in the currently non-collectible status, the statute still continues to move. So you know, you're good there. You don't have a tolling of the statute of limitations. You actually just continue to run out the clock, so to speak.
Tolling means putting it off, basically.
Exactly.
So
then that left us with one that I wanted to get back to, and that's where we are today, which is the offer and compromise. So the offer and compromise is an attempt to settle your tax debt for less than the full amount. You know, you have those advertisements out there.
You hear them all the time.
Yeah, all the time. More than $10,000 in tax debt, contact us, and we'll get you pennies on the dollar. And, you know, it is an option for taxpayers. But I do have a case this morning, and I wanted to go through this case with people because I think it's important to understand the analysis that goes into an offer and compromise. And this analysis that the court does is the same analysis I do when I sit down with a client.
Right.
We go through these particular options with regards to an existing IRS balance. The offer itself is not difficult. I mean, it's Form 656 and 433A. The most difficult thing is putting together that financial data, those bank statements, those wage statements, that asset information.
Right.
All that stuff that needs to go along with the forms. The forms themselves are, you know, not very many pages, but then the supporting documentation is quite substantial. And that's why an offering compromise is typically a more expensive proceeding with regards to hiring a professional to handle it. The 433A, well, first of all, Form 656, Ben, you got to decide whether you're going to go under the doubtas to liability, the doubtas to collectability, or some type of exceptional circumstances. So just, you know, what are we looking at here? You know, are we thinking that you don't have the ability to pay the money back? Did you get assessed this money and now believe that you don't perhaps owe it? And so there's a reason for the service to be a little bit nervous about whether or not you could later come back and file for a refund for the money after you've paid it. And then the 433A is again, fairly simple, but a lot of supporting documents to go along with it because they're looking at your assets, your income, and your expenses. And those are the three things that, you know, make or break an offer and compromise, in all honesty.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think it's helpful to go through this case today. It's Turner Ansley versus the IRS. And the case itself is probably not indicative of a good offer and compromise, obviously, but it is a very clear pattern of how the IRS, you know, looks at these types of things. So the issue in this case, Ben, is whether the IRS settlement officer abused her discretion by rejecting Mr. Ansley's $100 offer and compromise. So he said, IRS, I got this tax debt out there. They assessed it. It was $18,000 with penalties and interest. It was nearing $30,000.
He offered $100?
He offered $100. So he said, I think, you know, $100 is a good deal for you guys. You should take it. So he got that notice of deficiency. He didn't challenge the underlying liability, Ben. That's important to note. Mm-hmm. He didn't go to tax court and say, I don't believe that I owe this money. He just didn't do anything. Mm-hmm. The money became assessed. And then later he gets a letter in the mail saying, we're going to levy you. And so when he got that letter to levy, he goes, oh, man, I don't want my bank account levied. I'm going to file for a collection due process hearing. And the collection due process hearing basically just allows you to provide collection alternatives. Mm-hmm. And Mr. Ansley ultimately provided a collection alternative in the form of an offer and compromise. And he listed his assets. He had four old cars, you know, a 1990 Lexus, a 2004 Honda, a 97 Toyota, a 1973 Buick. He valued all those at zero. Mm-hmm. He goes, oh, these old cars aren't worth anything. And then he went through his income and he said, I have $3,600 of income and his expenses were $4,500.
Mm-hmm.
So that was what he said. So if you look at his numbers, he has zero in assets. His expenses are more than his income. His reasonable collection potential is
zero.
Zero. Exactly, because he has no ability to pay, so $100 is looking pretty good for the IRS,
yeah,
isn't it?
Right.
All right, well, that's not what they determine. So they go through and they look at his assets, and they say, yeah, we know your cars are really old.
Mm-hmm.
The standard they look at, Ben, is 80% of the value of the vehicle, because they think that, you know, you're not going to be able to get 100, but you can get 80 for it.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, they valued a 1990 Lexus at $510, a Toyota, a 1997 Toyota at $500,
mm-hmm.
a 2004 Honda at $1,500. I mean, so you can see the numbers they're putting on here are not anything that's outrageous.
Yeah.
I mean, the total for the vehicles is just under $3,000. But they do have value, and you got to value them at something. Then the biggest mistake he made was he had $3,600 of income. The IRS says, wait a minute, you only included your wages, the amount of money that you were making as an employee. But you're over 65, you're receiving Social Security benefits, you get $2,000 in Social Security income.
Yeah.
You got to put that into the pie. And he also had a little bit of like a side gig where he's getting a couple hundred bucks. So instead of being $3,600, the service says your real income, and keep in mind, they've got the documents to back it up through the 1099s and W-2s, is really $5,900.
Yeah, I'm going to say close to $6,000.
Yeah, Mr. Yeah. Ansley. And then they looked at his expenses and they adjusted them down slightly to $3,800 from $4,500.
Mm-hmm.
And they said, you know, really you have disposable income of just over $2,000 per month.
Mm-hmm.
And so your reasonable collection potential is $2,000 per month times 120 months.
Mm-hmm.
That's $240,000 plus $3,000 of assets.
Mm-hmm.
$243,000. So he says zero. they say $243,000, mm-hmm. you know, and his tax debt's $30,000, basically.
Right.
So you think they accepted, you think the court, no. court went along with his logic of his $100 offer?
No, I don't
no.
think so.
No, didn't do it. So they of course rejected that and said, Mr. Ansley, that was a, you know, they, the settlement officer did not abuse their discretion in denying or rejecting your offer. I think one thing that's interesting is, and you saw how they went through the numbers mm-hmm. here, you know, and we can get into the weeds about expenses and income and various things, but that's the analysis they do, Ben, and they look at what are your equity and your assets. They look at what's the difference between your income and your expenses and what can you afford to pay. And that's whether or not your offer and compromise is going to be, you know, accepted or rejected.
Now, here he was in the installment plan. If you're looking at 120 months, he could do $300 a month.
Yeah, and that's exactly what they said. So uh-huh. the settlement officer basically said, instead of doing offer and compromise, we need to do an installment agreement. Mm-hmm. And they offered him terms pretty much exactly what you just said, mm-hmm. which is, you know, hey, just pay this or whatever and get on this installment agreement and we'll be hunky-dory fine. Of course, he said he didn't want to pay that. It was expensive living in L.A. The one caveat I'll say to this, too, is that Mr. Ansley is 77 years old. Mm-hmm. So one of the footnotes in the cases says, you know, they really don't think that using a 10-year period where he's going to continue to make these types of wages is appropriate.
Yeah, right.
But nevertheless, if you look at he could pay his full tax debt, you know, over 15, 16 months, you mm-hmm. know, reasonably, that is okay for them to reject a $100 offer. So, you know, for all the stuff you give, you know, a little bit of crap to the IRS about or whatever, when they look at an offer and compromise, the numbers do kind of flush themselves out. Mm-hmm. And this is the analysis that you have to go through about whether or not an offer and compromise is a good avenue to go for you. And certainly, you know, if you had that tax debt out there and you're interested in trying to look at whether compromising would be a good idea, you know, give me a call, come by the office, and let's sit down and look at your numbers and see if we can get you in a not Mr. Ansley
there
type offer.
That's right. So you can call Andrew or you can also send him an email to afoster@harvellandcollins.com and check out harvellandcollins.com online too for past shows and more information about what they do. And you can give him a call at 726-9050 to set up the appointment with Andrew Foster from Harvell and Collins.